Most people like surprises, the good kind at least. The unexpected birthday party or bumping into an old friend you haven't seen in a while. But a few of us like surprises with our retirement savings. We like to think we're on track to retire someday, that we'll be able to support ourselves when we can no longer work. Today, financial planner and teacher Rob West has some reasons that may not be the case. Then it's your calls at 800-525-7000. Your calls on anything, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Six retirement surprises next on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, we're not trying to be in a bubble-bursting mode today, telling folks that their retirement assets may not be all they're cracked up to be.
You're exactly right, Steve. But better to find out about it now when you can still do something about it rather than later.
Yeah, okay. Well, the day after you retire, as you've mentioned, isn't the time to be surprised about your money, especially when you have 40, 50, 60 years to plan on it. So we've got, or you've got, six possible retirement surprises. So where do we start?
Well, the first one is good news and bad. You'll probably live longer than you think. Now, that's the good part. The bad news is it'll put more strain on your retirement savings. Now, why is this a surprise? Well, because we think the average life expectancy is around 79, but that's the average age for all age groups combined, and it's misleading. You see, you have to look at the life expectancy for those who make it to age 65. Half of women reaching that age have a 50% chance of living to nearly 87, and half of men reaching 65 will make it to age 84. That means younger workers should plan for 20 years or more of income in retirement, and that folks currently and those folks currently retired who have all of their assets in bonds should probably move some of it into the market or risk running out of retirement savings someday.
All right, so as a guy, if I make it to age 65, I no longer have to look both ways before I cross the street because you've guaranteed age 84.
Yeah, well, right? The word guarantee wasn't in there, and I think you're missing the point, maybe.
Okay,
just
what's
guessing.
Next?
All right. The next one shouldn't surprise anyone, but it does. The vast majority of people, at least, Social Security alone will not provide enough income in retirement. Financial advisors recommend having a retirement income of around 80% of your working income. That is your pre-retirement income. Social Security won't come close to that, and it was never intended to. At most, you can look to Social Security for around 40% of the income you'll need in retirement at best. The solution, again, is to increase your retirement holdings, and the sooner you do it, the easier it is because of that all-important factor called compound earnings.
Yeah, and like most things, the sooner you do it, the better. The sooner, the better. All right, retirement surprise number three.
All right. It's that most Americans aren't saving enough for retirement. The Government Accountability Office, what's known as the GAO, reports that the median retirement savings for Americans age 55 to 64 is only about $107,000. That might seem like a nice nest egg, but here's the reality. Expecting a 4% annual return, and that's what most advisors use as a rule of thumb, that's just $350 a month, not much of a supplement to Social Security. And that was the median savings, meaning half of Americans have less than that.
Well, that certainly could bust a bubble. All right, retirement surprise number four.
Yeah, you might say it's that a surprising number of Americans haven't figured out that pensions are a thing of the past. Today, most workers don't have that benefit, and for those that do, the median annual payout is just over $9,000 a year. Today, most workers absolutely must have a defined contribution plan, like a 401k or IRA, but according to a report by Vanguard, a third of American workers have no retirement workplace plan at all. The solution is obvious. Though, if you're not saving in a qualified plan, open one and start it today. Bottom line, Steve, the days where you get a gold watch and a check for life are pretty much gone. Yeah, I guess so. All right, we're up to number five.
Yeah, this one shouldn't be a surprise either, but since people are caught off guard by surprises one through four, many are staying in the workforce well after they reach Social Security eligibility. Bloomberg actually reports that nearly 20% of people 65 and older are still working, full or part-time. Now, that may be good news on one hand, because it seems like the percentage would be higher. The bad news is that one out of five workers of all ages say they'll never be able to quit working.
Ooh, okay. Well, let's hope the kids have a spare room. All right, I'll tell you what. Number six is creeping up on us quickly the way retirement does, especially if you don't have any. So we'll come back and chat about it right after this.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
When it comes to investing guidance, you want advice grounded in God's Word. That's the approach offered by Sound Mind Investing. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire investing wisdom and confidence. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. A short video webinar on profit and peace of mind is available now at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is Max McLean. What happens to us after we receive Christ? Listen to the Bible from 2 Corinthians 5 and 6. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. From 2 Corinthians 5 and 6, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Really great to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and today we're taking a brief look at six retirement surprises you don't want to have happen to you. And actually, we are up to number six, so that has to do with Medicare, right, Rob?
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of folks, Steve, think that once they reach age 65, Medicare will cover all of their needs. Well, it won't. One prime example is that it doesn't cover most assisted living expenses, and studies show that around 70% of those reaching that age will need some form of long-term care, which could run as much as $4,000 a month. Medicare covers only the first 100 days of care at a skilled nursing facility, and only then is if it results from a hospital stay of 3 days or more. The solution there is, at least one solution, long-term care insurance, which can be expensive. The best time to buy it is in your mid-50s, probably up to age 65, and you want to look at the longest term offered, probably also an inflation rider. Make sure you get a specialist to help you find the right company that's the right match for you, and make sure it fits into the budget, because it does you no good if you have it for months or even years and then have to drop it.
That's right. And like all things retirement oriented, you just mentioned here that long-term care insurance is best purchased in your mid-50s. But frankly, most people in their mid-50s aren't really thinking seriously about long-term care insurance or having to be put in a facility when they're
older. And then what happens, as again, you pointed out, you just can't afford it in your 70s. And so you just want to get an early jump on all these things. But Rob, hasn't God promised to meet all of our needs and to, well, use the body of Christ in many cases to do that? So how do we balance those kinds of things?
That's a great question, Steve. You know, I think at the end of the day, it's about our posture. Where is our heart? Are we truly believing that God owns it all and that he is our provider? Do we truly believe our dependence ultimately should rest solely in him? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, when we follow his principles, and as we talk about often, he's given us 2,350 or more verses dealing with this subject. When we follow his principles, we realize that we should be, to the extent we have the ability, setting aside part of God's provision today for the future. Remember, there's precious oil in the house of the wise. The foolish man swallows it up. So a portion of what God gives us today is not for today. And so we should put that aside for the future so we can use it as a blessing for others, to give, also to provide for ourselves and even care for our family when we're unable to do that through our own work. So it's a balancing act, but it's all got to begin, Steve, with that heart posture that says, God, I am trusting in you, not my bank account, not my stock portfolio, not even my employer, solely you.
Well said, Rob. And if something untoward should happen to me, I know you still have that cot downstairs next to the furnace, if it's empty.
Yeah, it's always empty for you, Steve, right next to the furnace.
I like that. Okay. Plainfield, Illinois. Hello, Donna. Welcome to MoneyWise Live. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you guys for using your God-given talents to help all of us who don't know how to do this. Anyway, my question is, my husband and I are concerned that regardless of what happens with the election, the economy will take a big downturn. And we are wondering if we should take out a good number or good amount of money from our portfolio and put it someplace safe.
Yeah, Donna, I appreciate that. Give me a sense of what you have. Are we talking about retirement investments that you're currently living on, so you're drawing an income from them, and they're invested in a mix of stocks and bonds, or something else?
We have a mix of stocks and bonds. My husband is retired Army. I'm a retired teacher. Mm-hmm. We have not touched anything that we have in stocks and bonds. We are just basically living off of our retirement income.
I see.
Kind of where we are right now.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I would always go back to what is the right measure of risk that you should be taking given your age, objectives, where you feel like God is taking you in this season of life, not anything else. We're not trying to beat the market. We're trying to accomplish your God-given goals and objectives. And so we've got to start with, Lord, what would you have for us? What have you entrusted to us? And then how should we use that wisely? And if your allocation to investments, which I think clearly we should seek a return on God's money, so that's affirmed in Scripture, and if our allocation is appropriate for where we're at, this season of life, what our needs are, and what we're trying to do, including your lifestyle, your giving goals, what you want to do in terms of an inheritance or, in the future, if you have major medical expenses to be able to cover, you know, skilled care and those types of things, if your investment mix is appropriate for that, then I would tend not to change that based on near-term circumstances. Because here's the reality. Could we see some greater volatility in the stock market as a result of the election? Possibly. But remember, the market is very forward-looking. And so most of what is expected to happen in the election and the pandemic, for that matter, is already priced in because the market's not looking out a matter of weeks. It's looking out a matter of months and 6 months or more. And, so even if there is increased volatility, as long as you have things like enough cash set aside for perhaps in this season of life as much as a year and not an over allocation to stocks that are more aggressive, that would be perhaps inappropriate for your age and stage of life, and a good healthy allocation to fixed income. As long as all that's in place, then my recommendation would be just to let that go, because any kind of short-term volatility will take care of itself over time. And if the Lord tarries and you all are in good health, especially since you're not even drawing an income from this money, we're talking about this money lasting for decades moving forward, not just the next 6 or 12 months. And bottom line is, when we look back historically, even in periods heading up into an election cycle, and given the other factors we have, there's probably not going to be a whole lot more volatility from here. Remember, regardless of what your political persuasion is, it's probably not going to be as bad as you think it might be in one scenario, and it's not going to be as good as you think it might be in another, and the market tends to take care of itself. So I'd say at the end of the day, as long as your allocations are right, I'd probably leave your stocks and bonds right where they are and not make any changes based on what you might expect in the near term, because that will take care of itself over time.
Hmm. Donna, thank you very much for your call today. It's a question lots of people, I'm sure, are wondering about, and we're glad that you raised it today. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and we're taking your phone calls at 800-525-7000. Here's the good news. There's no expense to you. We have lots of open lines. You can call right now and almost be assured of getting through. 800-525-7000. We'll be back with much more after this.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
We feel better when we go to church. We feel better for a little while. Feeling better is not the same thing as living successfully. According to Joshua 1:8, the word of God really does use the word successful. To be a success. And if you and I are going to be a success, we're going to have to make a decisive dedication. We're going to have to make up our minds. When I was teaching my girls when they were in high school how to say no to somebody coming on to them, I assure you, we talked in strong language. Be decisive. Open your mouth and put some volume to it and go, no. Not, I don't think so. No, now. No. Young men just as clearly need to be taught. No. Just decisive. Decisive. We're not empowered to say that strong no until every morning of our lives we get up again, go before the altar of God and go, yes, yes, decisive. I'm going to make up my mind, Joshua says, and he's the one about whom the word success was used and inspired by God. And at the very end of it, he says, you know, you can do what you want with you in your own household. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
You've been listening to Beth Moore with a quick word. There are two ways to experience a study of Galatians. You can join Beth for the online experience releasing September 15th at bethmoore.org, or you can join us in January 2021 for the release of the printed workbook edition. See you next time for another Quick Word with Beth Moore.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
So glad you're out there today. Let us know if we can help you with something financial, a question, a conundrum, some situation you're wondering about. 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000, open lines. To Ohio now, and Jean, what's your situation? How can we help?
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm in the PERS system in Ohio, and I'm getting ready to retire, and I'm 67 years old. At the present time, I'm renting, and I have like $400,000 in my PERS retirement. And I would like to know, would it be a good idea to take a big sum of money out and buy a home, pay cash for it, and this way I won't be paying rent for rental? Is that a good idea?
Yeah, for the benefit of our listeners, what Jean is talking about when she talks about the OPERS, that's the Ohio Public Employee Retirement System that she has. And did you say, Jean, you've got about $400,000 accumulated there?
Yes.
Okay. And you are currently working, but you're about to retire. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And will you be taking this as a lump sum, or are you going to convert that to an income stream?
It's a plop. We call it a plop.
Yeah. Okay. So you'll take it as a lump sum.
Yes.
Okay. And at that point, based on the expenses that you have, the budget that you're planning on in retirement, not now, do you anticipate needing to pull an income from that lump sum in addition to Social Security?
No.
Okay, so Social Security will really cover all of your expenses, whether or not you pay off the house?
No, I'm going to pay cash for the house. I don't want any debt. I won't be in any debt.
Okay, and so you just wanted to confirm that I like the idea of you paying cash and pulling it from these retirement assets.
Right.
Okay. Well, the only thing to consider there is just the tax implications. How much are you looking to spend on the house?
About $200,000.
All right. And do you have any other assets you could use to buy the home with?
I could.
Okay. Well, that would be the only thing to look at. I would probably visit with a tax professional just to make sure you understand the implications of that. What I wouldn't want to have happen is you inadvertently push yourself up to a much higher tax bracket by recognizing all of that as income in a single year. And what, unless you have just a real conviction about debt for any length of time, and if you do, then you need to follow that. But if you don't, what you may want to do is maybe put a significant amount down, maybe as much as 50%, take a small mortgage, and then pay it off in the following year. You just want to compare the cost of that mortgage to the potentially added cost of the taxes. Now, if the cost, you know, basically cancels itself out because the cost of the mortgage is almost offset by, you know, the cost of the increased taxes, then you may want to just go ahead and do it all up front. Or if possible, maybe you spread it over two calendar years. So you'd take a portion of it at the end of 1 year and a portion at the beginning of the next year, and then you buy the house. Something like that would allow you to spread it out over 2 years. But the bottom line is, if you have a conviction about being debt-free, I would say go ahead and make that purchase. You'll still have $200,000 left in your retirement account. You've purposed your life so that you can live on your Social Security and whatever else you have coming in, which means this money can continue to grow. So the only other thing I would just say, Gene, is make sure you have an investment professional that can come along alongside you to help you manage what's left, the proceeds from that retirement plan. If you don't have someone, I'd encourage you to go to our website, moneywiselive.org, click Find a CKA, and right there in Ohio, I'd interview at least three, find one that's a good fit for you, somebody who can help you make the decisions about how to invest that money to protect it, to make sure you maintain a conservative posture, but to grow it over time, because this money, Lord willing, needs to last a long, long time. So hopefully that's helpful to you.
Thanks very much, Gene. Ellenton, Florida. Hello, Jim. You have a retirement question as well?
I do. Right. I haven't been putting into my 401k for too long. I just turned 49. I've probably been putting in for about 15 years now. Last I checked, I had just shy of $50,000 in it. It is put into a 2035 retirement account for Fidelity. I do have a pension from my old, from the company that that I used to work for, and I've got one right now called a wrap account, and I don't know how much is in that one. I'm just a little worried because 65 seems like it's coming up pretty quick.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've got enough to be able to retire on, and I'm not sure exactly how to grow it because I'm not any kind of good with notes or bonds or whatever.
Sure. Well, a couple of thoughts, Jim. Number one is your income is your most powerful wealth-building tool. So what you have coming in and your ability to live on less than that so that you can put more away is obviously what's going to be the most powerful force to continue to grow that account on top of the compound earnings that happen when you invest it. So the key is to maintain a modest lifestyle so that you have plenty of margin, because ideally we'd like to get you putting 15% of your pay in that 401k up to the max, and then you could open a Roth IRA perhaps alongside it if you maxed it out. Perhaps you're not putting enough in to build that up over time. Then the second thing is, what are the right investments in that? If you want to use the target date fund, what you may want to do is push the date out a little longer, because remember, the 2035 fund is going to get very conservative, you know, within the last 5 to 7 years before retirement. But remember, that money needs to last you well beyond 65, because if the Lord tarries and you have good health, as we talked about earlier in the program, you're going to need this money to last you for a couple of decades, potentially. And so I think the opportunity for you is to perhaps in the target date fund, push it out, maybe do a 2040 fund, or look at some other investments that have been performing well, some other mutual funds that maybe could give you a little bit better return. But the key is to get more money going into it over time. The last thing I might recommend is it would be worth you, Jim, sitting down with an investment professional or a financial planner who could help you do some retirement planning so you at least know what your goal is and know what you need to be saving so that you're not wondering whether you're going to have enough in retirement. You'll know what's needed, and you can develop a plan to get there, and that's going to give you a lot more peace of mind. And you can find one of those financial planners at our website, someone right there in Florida, when you click Find a CKA.
And Jim, you are right. Retirement can sneak up on you. You're not prepared for it when you're 40 or you're 50. Then you kind of close in on 60 and you start worrying. We don't want you to worry. God says leave that part of it up to Him. He does promise to meet our needs, but He also wants us to be practical and thoughtful about these kinds of things. So thanks for your call today. 800-525-7000. More Money Wise with Rob West right after this.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth, a communications major at the Moody Bible Institute. The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in Psalm 91, 2 through 4. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. That's Psalm 91, 2 through 4, the Moody Radio verse of the week.
Start your day by pursuing God. Listen to the Mornings with Tozer podcast. A.W. Tozer provides you with 2 minutes of spiritual intimacy with God. You'll discover a God of breathtaking majesty and world-changing love. As you step into the morning light of a new day, listen to Mornings with Tozer on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you prefer a printed devotional, purchase your copy of Mornings with Tozer at moodypublishers.com.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. It's their final face-to-face showdown before the election. President Trump and Democrat Joe Biden will mix it up on the debate stage tonight in Nashville. Orange skies, winds gusting up to 70 miles per hour, smoke tornadoes, and hazardous air. In Colorado, blazes have burned the second most acreage since 2000 and included the state's two largest on record. One of the Colorado smaller fires exploded late Wednesday from 30 square miles to 196 square miles and closed Rocky Mountain National Park. Brandon Lowe homered twice. The Tampa Bay Rays held off the L.A. Dodgers 64 to square the World Series at one game apiece. Game three is Friday in Arlington, Texas. Stocks finishing higher on Wall Street. The Dow picked up 152 points. The NASDAQ ahead 21 and the S&P tacked on 17. This is SRN News.
If you
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. Before we take another call, Rob, I can just see it on your face, buddy.
Oh, yeah?
You want to talk about the, it's got three letters, STP. No, that's not it. The app.
The app. APP. Yes, APP, I love to talk about the app. You know why? Because we're so excited about it. You know, we spent 8 months building what I believe is the best digital envelope system anywhere. None of them had everything I was looking for, and I said, all right. We got to build our own. So we went out and found the most competent, godly, which is incredible, app developers. We asked them to join our team, and they have built an incredible tool. So you can connect all your institutions. You can download everything. It has my style of envelope system. Everything's always synced to your funding accounts in real time. But even better than that, Steve, there's a community of people who are sharing ideas and asking questions. And I jump in there and answer questions a lot of times. You can listen to the broadcast if you don't catch it live. It's all there in the MoneyWise app. Three places you can get it. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to your Google Play App Store. Or you can just go to app.moneywise.org.
Wow. Okay. Sounds fantastic. I've been looking through it myself. I am amazed at what people who know what they're doing are able to do, because it's, I mean, it's fantastic. It looks gorgeous, and I can't wait to get my hands dirty trying it myself. So I may need your help. I may need your home phone number, actually.
No, it's Steve Moore proof. That was one of the objectives.
That was rude. That was rude. Florida, Karen, how can we help you?
Hi there. It kind of goes back to the question that the woman had earlier about the election potentially being volatile, the stock market.
Yeah.
And I wondered if I should convert my moderate funds to a treasury bond just to hold the principal.
Yeah. Tell me, if you don't mind, Karen, a little about your situation. What is your age and are you still working?
Yeah, I am still working full time. I'm 58 years old.
Okay. And so this is your retirement account, is that right?
It is one of my retirement accounts.
Okay.
That has the most money in it.
Yeah. And what are we talking about roughly in investable assets?
That one has roughly $350,000.
Okay. So a significant amount of money. And you said it's in a moderate fund, which basically just means by moderate, it's a mix of stocks and bonds without being overly aggressive toward either the stocks themselves or the allocation to the various investment holdings that are stock related. And, you know, here's what I would say. I mean, if we were to back up and say, okay, let's say you knew in January there was a pandemic coming. And you had the opportunity to change your investments. And obviously, no one knew the pandemic was coming, but let's say you had that forewarning. You would probably say, well, given the fact that there's a worldwide pandemic coming, I'm going to change all of my investments and I'm going to get, you know, ultra conservative and maybe even go to cash. Well, then what happened? Well, we had the fastest decline from a bear market to a bull market in history, down 20%. But guess what? We had the fastest rise from that we've ever had as well. And we've made up all the territory that we've lost and we're moving to higher ground. So even in the midst of a worldwide pandemic, as long as you're invested with the right allocation, you have a long time horizon, you're investing according to your values and your objectives, you're properly diversified, which I suspect you're doing all of those things, then we don't look at short-term blips on the radar, whether it's an election or a pandemic, because the problem with doing that is not only we have to decide when to get out, meaning when to get more conservative, but we have to decide when to get back in. And what history will tell us, and all the studies that have looked at this, is that we will react out of emotion. We'll try to pick the top, and then we'll try to pick the bottom. Invariably, we can't do that because nobody knows where the market's going from here. And so for you to try to time the market, which is what you would essentially have to do on the front end and the back end in terms of when you get more aggressive, because you've still got, you know, Lord willing, a long time between now and retirement, I think that's just a losing proposition. So what I'd rather you do is just take another look at your investments and say, am I in the right place? Given my age, what I've already accumulated, what God is doing in my life, how much I want to be giving, what lifestyle he's called me to, how long he's going to have me working in this particular place before perhaps he redirects me to somebody else. Is this the right investment mix? And do I have the right people advising me if you're not doing it yourself? And if the answer to that is yes, then I would say stay the course.
Karen, thank you very much. Great question. And Rob, you make such a great point. Who would have thought in December or January that a global pandemic was on the way, and how would we have responded? And if we would have responded the way most people think they would have, well, they would have lost money. So, I mean, it's just impossible to know.
That's exactly right, Steve.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to, well, we have another Karen, this one calling from Ohio. And Karen, how can we help you today with Rob West?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I surely appreciate your program.
Thank you.
My husband and I, you're welcome. My husband and I have rental property, and some of it is on the Great Lake of Lake Erie, and we're having an erosion problem. Now, he and I are in our 70s. This is our investments to continue our income. But my question is, we have a mortgage on our home where it's worth $300,000. We could pull for that to do erosion control, or we could take a loan out with a bank to cover it, or we could use our savings to cover it. And it's going to cost us about $250,000, maybe $300,000. So what would your suggestion be on which route to take?
Yeah, interesting. So the erosion control on this property, you obviously plan to keep the rental property into the future because it's been working for you. It's generating the income. It's not too much upkeep, all of those things. Is that right?
Right. We're living very comfortable on our rental properties.
Okay, very good. And so as long as you do plan to continue to hold these for some time, then obviously you need to deal with this issue, which, as you said, is going to be a major expense. In terms of where to pull the $250,000 from, am I hearing that you own your primary residence free and clear?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And what kind of equity do you have in the rental property? You own that outright as well?
Yes, we're mortgage-free across all of it.
Okay, great. And tell me about your liquid assets. What do you have in investable assets that would be available if you wanted to pay cash for it?
We have probably $300,000 in savings, and we also have a $300,000 equity loan that is just sitting on our home just in case we wanted to buy another rental property and we could do the deal real quick.
Yeah. Okay. Do you expect to be able to do, are you actively looking for something where you'd need that money?
Well, not right now. We're more concerned with the erosion control. We've lost about 20 foot of property since this spring.
Yeah. All right. And how quickly do you think you'd be able to pay this back out of current cash flow if you were to borrow to fund the erosion control?
Well, we could use our savings, but I hate to touch that.
Right, but if you just did it out of cash flow and not out of savings, how much surplus do you have every month?
Geez, I don't know how long it would take for us to pay that back, maybe 20 years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's what it's going to come down to is, obviously a first mortgage, a 20-year mortgage would be the cheapest cost of funds on that primary residence. You've got good liquidity. You could pay it off at any time and keep your cash available. You could also accelerate the payoff. I mean, the mortgage rates right now are just so low that would be probably your best option. We've got to hit a break here. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air, but that's probably your best solution.
Do you know if you have enough money, enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand how urgent and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity through the eyes of a layman. Did you know that stress levels today are 5 times higher than those measured during the 9/11 terrorist attacks? But as Christians, we still have the peace that passes all understanding. It's peace that only comes from praying and trusting God for everything. And sadly, most people don't have that peace. Just look at those around you and imagine how worried they must be over everything that's happening in our world today. You can change that. God put those people in your life for that very reason. You have the peace that they long for, and you need to share it with them to rescue them. God's placed the hope within you that they desperately desire. God wants to use you to move everyone every day closer to Jesus, changing their eternal destinations from darkness to light, from pain to peace, from turmoil to joy to eternity with Almighty God. There is nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
This is Ann Graham Lotz with Daily Light for Daily Living. John 12, verse 3 says, "Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet, and the house was filled with the fragrance." In a similar way, in the early light of creation's dawn, the Father held His priceless treasure. It was His most precious possession. The Father slipped into the darkness of the world He had made and loved. The hands that held His treasure, His only Son, with such tender and eternal love relaxed and opened as He placed Him gently on the manger bed of hay. And then, years later, the Father once again picked up His treasure, and on a hill so far away from His celestial home, the Father smashed His most precious possession on a rugged wooden cross. Listen to me. The contents of flesh and blood were poured out, and the fragrance of His love filled the world and permeated human history forever. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover the Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a 6-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of the Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Welcome back to MoneyWise, MoneyWise Live. If you haven't visited our website, I'd encourage you to do that. Just like the app, things get changed there on a regular basis, always adding something new and exciting and helpful. You'll find lots of resources you can download for free, archives of past radio programs, how to find a certified Kingdom Advisor, and much, much more. Rob?
Yeah, just to follow up from Karen, because we had a chance to spend a few more moments off the air during the break. And here's what we've decided, because she's managed her affairs so well, she and her husband, they've got this rental property free and clear. They've got this primary residence free and clear, $300,000 in savings, another $300,000 in investments, good rental income. She's actually going to split the difference. She's going to take $125,000 for that from her savings to pay for that $250,000 erosion control project.
Yeah.
Wow. massive, and then borrow $125,000, which they can pay off just as quickly as they can. So we appreciate Karen's call today. I wanted just to update our listeners on where we landed.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, Rob. I'm glad you did. Okay. Chicago, Sue, what's your situation? How can we help you?
Hi.
Hi.
My husband is 68, and I'm 65. And he has handled all the finances all this time, and it's rather complicated. He's an investment advisor. So anyway, it's very complicated. I have been ignorant about all of this. I was wondering if there's any kind of, and he is willing to share it with me, but is there any kind of a book where, he's not a good teacher, let me put it that way, so he's a willing.
Yes.
Is there any kind of a book where everything could be written? You know, otherwise he's very random. It's
sure.
Like, oh, this is here. Look in the shoebox, you know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And are you looking, Sue, primarily just for kind of a good broad overview of a biblical approach to managing money or specifically investing? You know, tell me kind of where you feel like your need is.
Well, it is well managed by my husband. I know nothing of it.
Yes.
That's what is there anything that he could, you know, like a book where he could record all this stuff and kind of explain it as he's doing it?
Sure, sure. You know, yeah, a couple of resources I'd like to send you. One is Master Your Money, which is just a classic from the author Ron Blue. Excuse me. And that would give you a good broad overview of financial planning and financial management through a biblical lens. The second is a book called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. We can send you both of those, and I think that'll give you a real good start. You also may want to visit compassone.org and look for a resource called Setting Your House in Order, which would give him a template to capture all of the assets, all of the things that you have, so he could put that in one place so you know where to go if something were to happen to him. That one's at compassone.org. It's called Setting Your House in Order. But if you'll stay on the line, we'll get you these resources, Master Your Money, and also the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, and this will give you plenty of good weekend reading starting in a few days here.
Yeah, and Sue, that one is more of a workbook, which is what I think you mentioned there at the end, something you and your husband can do that already has, you know, spaces and lines and a section where you can fill it all in, and you won't get mad at your husband if you don't understand something. You can get mad at your book or vice versa, you know, and it's not uncommon, Rob, that a husband has difficulty sharing something with his wife that he knows well, and she doesn't necessarily know. He may lack some patience. You know, it's like teaching your teenager how to drive a stick shift. It's sometimes it works and sometimes not so much.
Yeah, as you were describing that, it sounded like it was a very familiar thing to describe, the fact that
I was just making stuff up along the way. Something I surmised could possibly happen. Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Mike, welcome to MoneyWise Live.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I just turned 61. Too young to collect Social Security yet. I retired a year ago. I get a monthly retirement check of about $3,100. Thank you, good Lord. I was able to just pay my house off, so we have almost zero debt.
Cool.
I have a traditional Roth IRA and a 401k, and which both total about $650,000. And then I have about $70,000 in savings. My dilemma is I have two children that are just getting out of college at the same time, and they're both going to be coming out of college with about $100,000 in debt each. I told them that I would help them chip away at that, and it's coming up soon, and I'm getting stressed about this, and I'd like to help them, and I don't know what'd be the best route to take to assist them. I was thinking about taking a home equity loan out for about $100,000. I talked to my bank, and they gave me a low percentage interest rate on that, but I don't know what you think would be the best route to take to assist them. I'm not there to pay for their whole debt, but I'm just real stress for them that they're going to be coming out with that amount of debt each.
Yeah. And did you want to give them a lump sum, Mike, or were you wanting to try to help them, you know, add to whatever they're sending monthly just to kind of incentivize the right behavior? So, you know, maybe for every, you know, $250 they send, you'll match it and, you know, give them a monthly income stream. How are you thinking about approaching it?
Yeah, see, I just haven't gotten that far yet. I just got to the point where I just thought about one thing. I thought about again was that loan, that home equity loan.
Sure.
I don't know how I'm going to do that yet, but I'd like to help them. I'm getting stressed for them. Neither one of them have a job yet, obviously. So.
Sure. Well, yeah, a couple of options. I mean, obviously, given the fact that you just paid off your home, I'd hate for you to go back into debt. Sounded like you were pretty excited about that. I mean, I think one option now that your income is down, you could look at pulling from the traditional 401k, because that's money that would have to be taken out with a required minimum distribution down the road. And if in fact you're able to keep your lifestyle modest, you're debt free, you're living, you know, within your means, the Roth is going to afford you the opportunity to let that money continue to grow because you don't have a required minimum distribution at that point. So that would be money you could give away now or in the future or pass on to the kids. So what if you were to try to incent the right behavior, which is to get them to really take seriously, paying this down as quickly as they can and starting as soon as they can once they get out of school, rather than just coming in and, you know, dropping a bunch of money on it, which you could do. Or you could say, listen, I'll match whatever you send every month. And so if you can keep your lifestyle low and, you know, dial back your spending and you guys get, you know, $200 or $300 a month going toward this debt, guess what? It just became $400 or $600. And then you take a monthly income from that traditional IRA or 401k that, you're still in a very low tax bracket. You're not going to have any penalties because you're over 59 and a half. And then, you know, you just pay that money directly to the loan, commensurate to whatever they're willing to set up the same systematic payment for. That would be one option. The second option is to go get that mortgage. And I'd probably look at a conventional mortgage just because rates are so low and you can pay it off whenever you want. Right now, if you were to get a 15-year mortgage, you could get a rate of just above 2.5% if you have good credit and you got tons of equity, obviously. So I think either one of those options would be good. I would just think about it in terms of what can I do that's going to incent them to develop the disciplines that I want them to carry throughout the rest of their life while I'm blessing them at the same time by helping them eradicate their debt. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. Very good.
Okay, Mike. Appreciate your call. God bless you, bud.
Fort Myers, Florida. Marcos, we have about 3 minutes. Let's see if we can squeeze it in, all right?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Go right ahead.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, how you doing, sir? You okay?
Yes, sir. Doing great. Thanks for calling today. How can we help?
Yeah, that's the first time I was calling. I was calling because I'm almost 65, January 19. I'm going to be 65 years old. I want to know, my question is, they sent me application for Medicaid and plus another application for retirement and Social Security. But I like to know if I have go ahead to do it right now. But I like to work. I like to work every day, full time.
Yes.
I don't know if I can do it. That's why I call in, because you, about 15 minutes ago, you were talking about 65, 60, something like that.
Yes.
That's my question.
Well, yeah, Marcos, if you have the ability to continue to work, sounds like you certainly do, and you want to keep working, which I heard you say that as well, and that's great. Remember, God created us to be productive, to be workers. That was even before the fall. So we always want to do that in service to the Lord, asking him how he can use us for his glory wherever he's placed us. And I'm certain he's using you in that way as well. Given the fact that you're funding your lifestyle and your expenses out of your income, because you're continuing to work, there's a great opportunity to not begin to take your Social Security at full retirement age, which is either 66 or 67. And every year you wait beyond that, that check is going to grow by 8%. And then once you start taking it, as it continues to grow, once you start taking it, you lock in that higher amount for the rest of your life. And you can continue to let it grow 8% a year until age 70. So if you were to continue to work for the next 5 or so years until age 70, and let that Social Security check grow at the same time, then you would enjoy that higher payout for the rest of your life, which would be a great benefit. Because as we said earlier in the program, once folks reach age 65, what many of them don't realize is for men reaching age 65, half of men at that age will make it to age 84. And so this money needs to last you for a long, long time. And that higher check, I'm sure, will be a real blessing to you. So hopefully that's helpful to you. We appreciate your call today, Marcos. God bless you, sir.
We do indeed. Thank you very much. And with that, we're going to have to put a bow on it, I think. And Rob, I think we've covered a lot of good ground today. You know, the Bible says a lot more about work than it does retirement. Maybe that just means that God wants us to do more of one than the other. I'm not sure.
I think that's right. I think our culture's got it wrong, Steve. We're not supposed to look toward this day where we cease all productive activity and live a life of leisure. We can have some fun, but it's all about being in service to the Lord.
My thanks to Amy, Deb, Gabby, and Rich Rosel, who controls the volume on our microphones so we don't talk over one another. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media.